Welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast. You know, where we celebrate and take pride in all aspects of industrial profession. The people, the incredible people, the ones that get it done. The opportunity both today and tomorrow. And definitely the solutions that keep the wheels on this wonderful country rolling. It's fantastic that you're here. I hope it provides you with some great information, because that's what we're all about. Because if you're in the industrial profession, you want to know what's going on and who's doing what. So anyway, that's what we're all about. And I'm so glad that you're here. So enjoy the show. All right. Thank you. I really appreciate you guys being here with me and talking a little bit about the profession of the industrial sector. And I just want to make sure that you know that we're sponsored by Leaf Services, the premier labor development and labor solutions. If you need a cost-effective solution for your labor needs, why don't you give them a buzz? I know they got a website out there, most definitely. Well, this past week was quite the busy week for the Industrial Talk Show. Had the opportunity to go to Galveston, Texas, and take in the EHS conference there, put on by the Louisiana and Texas Chemical Council. And quite frankly, in short, it was a fantastic opportunity. So we're going to do talk to some people that were there. I've interviewed a couple of individuals there, and I think they have something really great to say. On another front, number two, shall we say, I'm passionate about veterans. They deserve our respect and admiration and definitely our help. So if you're out there making some decisions on staffing, labor, whatever it might be, why don't you give those guys a shot, the men and women of our country, and give them a help, because they certainly deserve our help and our admiration, definitely. Okay, I'm trying to pull together a couple of special events that are really designed to make things fun and enjoy and celebrate our industrial background. And so I'm coming up with a Louisiana fishing trip. And if you need more information, definitely go out to the Industrial Talk website, where you can find out more and what the details are. But I'm still trying to put meat on the bones. And the other one I'm trying to work on is the Mardi Gras 2018. So try to bring in some industrial talent, speak to you about things that are taking place in the industry, some of the trends, the future, all of the good stuff, and walk away with some good knowledge, but most importantly, ride on a float. Be a rock star for about 4 hours. I just want to have a blast. And because we can, we should try to do it. Next week, I'll be talking a little bit back. I'll be talking more about back. Speed is the key, the strategy of now. I'm taking a little sabbatical from that this week because I had I went to the EHS conference, which was just an absolute wonderful time. And on the now front, Training. I was listening to, a show this morning, and Governor Scott Walker from Wisconsin was on it, and he was talking about all of the job openings that are taking place in the state of Wisconsin and really across the country. And what the challenge is in all these openings are the fact that we don't have enough trained individuals. So if there's a demand out there, I think the word is training. So please, if you have that opportunity, get trained in what you want to do, because the job is definitely out there for you, definitely. As quickly mentioned, this past week I was in Galveston at the EHS conference, and it was brought to you by the Texas and Louisiana Chemical Council, a slew of fantastic EHS vendors, passionate about safety, most definitely, passionate about the environment. And the bottom line, an incredible event, great content, and of course, wonderful people. Just amazing. What always sort of strikes me about these events, especially the safety and environmental, and definitely the health, is how passionate these professionals are and how they keep that topic in the forefront of every conversation. It makes no sense for us to cut corners. And they definitely have the tools, the techniques, the talent. Oh, they were just absolutely wonderful. So definitely be safe out there, everybody. Here's the bottom line. If you need to come in contact with people, professionals, the ones that need to get it done, I highly recommend that you become a member of the Texas and Louisiana Chemical Council. They just did not disappoint. They put on a top-notch show. They put you in front of professionals that are just at the top of their game. And I highly recommend that you look into it. You will not be disappointed. Now, as alluded to in the beginning of the show, I had the wonderful opportunity and privilege of meeting and conducting a live interview with a gentleman by the name of Mr. John Grubb, noted author and speaker, and just all-around great guy, because he knows what he's talking about in the industry. And also, I met with a young lady by the name of Miss Amanda Martin, which is a business development team lead with EMSI. Both of them just were very cordial and very nice to be able to provide their insight into what they do and what they love about their job. So coming up after this break, we're going to be talking a little bit to them and what they like to do and where they see the future going, and definitely how they enjoy the industrial profession. So I'll catch you on the backside. Hi, this is Scott McKenzie with Industrial Talk. I like to learn and I like to have fun. And when I can put them both together, learning and having fun, well, that's a match made in heaven. That's why I put together a drawing for a Louisiana fish excursion, as well as the 2018 Mardi Gras once-in-a-lifetime event. You can find more about this information, about this two wonderful opportunities, at the Industrial Talk website at industrialtalk.com. All right. Thank you very much for joining us in today's podcast. I am live from, where are we at now?
We are in sunny Galveston, Texas.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Sunny Galveston, Texas, at a show that is featuring a lot of EHS professionals, which has incredible stuff out here. With me right now, I've got a gentleman by the name of Mr. John Grubbs. And he is the author of the latest book called Leading the Lazy, Get the Most Out of Today's Workforce. How you doing today, John?
I am amazing. It's a great show, great day.
How's the show coming along?
This show has been great. I mean, so many people that you meet here, you tend to build long relationships with these people and some of the key players in the petrochemical industry.
That's fantastic. Now, let me ask you this. Why are you here? Just because you've got friends? What's the reason you're here?
I started this show, coming to this show 11 years ago, and I'm going to tell you, there is no way that I would be able to call companies like ExxonMobil, Chevron, Phillips, BASF clients if it weren't for the relationships I created in this show.
Now, you've got a book called Leading the Lazy. What's the premise behind that book?
All right. So in 2011, I wrote a book about the coming storm for generational change. It was called Surviving the Talent Exodus, and it was about the millennials leaving the workplace, or the boomers leaving the workplace and the millennials coming into the workplace. That book was so popular and had so much demand, created so much demand for my time. I needed to write a book about the new generation and work was going to be like with that generation in charge.
Now, What are the challenges that you have with those with the millennials? What are they looking for today?
So what that book describes is it describes why millennials are so different. What is it that makes them different from generations past? For instance, you know, the millennials are the first generation in history that a big majority of them were raised by single moms working two jobs to pay rent on a rent-controlled apartment. And as a result, if she doesn't have any other family, her kids are being raised and influenced mostly by their peers.
Let me ask you this. From a business point of view, as a business owner and as an individual that is well-connected within the industry, what type of challenges do the millennials and Gen Y pose for employers?
The biggest challenge I think employers are finding is finding a part of that generation that will stay longer than 16 to 18 months. The research says 16 to 18 months is about the average tenure of that generation on the job.
Now, how do you retain that? I know that the book is, and I know that I think I've read someplace on how to retain that workforce. How do you take the realities of that and to try to keep them engaged and focused on the changing world that we have?
Well, today's workforce, for them, it's more about who they're doing work with rather than what they're doing. For example, I can be an accountant at Company A, Company B, or Company C. I can be an engineer here, I can be an engineer there. But the biggest challenge for employers today is to try to figure out a way of helping these millennials feel like they belong or that they have a sense of purpose other than just the job.
That's interesting. Now, let me ask you this. You spoke briefly about purpose. What's your purpose?
Yeah, my why is, you know, if I can help leaders become better at what they do, then they're going to have a large influence over a bigger part of society. So my job, my motto is to live like a proton, to have a positive charge all the time, and to always leave that positive energy on the people that come through my classes, or that listen to my speeches, or that interact with me on a daily basis.
Well, that's interesting. So you're positive. And how does one like you get into this business?
It's interesting. You know, I started out as a safety engineer. Safety became part of human resources. Both of those threw me yelling, kicking, and screaming into the world of training and development. And, you know, and I realized something about myself in the mid-90s. They say 10% of people on this planet, 1 out of 10 people, get to earn a living doing something they truly love. You know, I discovered that about myself, that training and development, working in front of groups is something that is not work for me. It's a passion. You know, that's my wish for my two boys, that they go to school and have an opportunity to do something that they enjoy, rather than be that 90% of people who are out there just making a living or earning a paycheck.
How long you been doing this?
I've been doing this as for my own business for 15 years. But I actually started doing this type of work in the mid-90s, so going on 30 years.
I noticed that you've got multiple books out, and if I was interested in getting, which I am, if I'm interested in getting some additional books, where could I find these books?
All of these books are on Amazon.com, and you can look up by my name, John Grubbs, or you can look up by the title and find these books, and there's often reviews there, so I kind of let you know. If people ask which book to read first, I always tell them to read the Leading the Lazy book, because what I did for that book was I included excerpts, my favorite chapters from previous books, as an addendum in this new book. That way, if someone wanted to read just one book and knew what I was about and what my philosophy was like, this would be the book that they could go to.
Now, I notice that you've got Facebook, Twitter, and, of course, LinkedIn. Those are all good. And, of course, I'm sure you have a website. Yep, johngrubbs.com. Let me ask you a little bit about the future, the drivers of this industry. Where do you see people – I mean, where do you just see this place going? I'm in it. I have a company, and I see some real significant changes. Where do you see the future of industry going?
Well, you know, I'm actually writing the next book in that series titled Leading the Tribes. And here's my belief. We are going to see a significant change as millennials take over in supervisory management, even executive positions, so that tribal leaders are going to replace what we call transactional managers. In years past, you paid someone to do a job. It was a transaction. And people would do it for your company for years. But today, it's not that way. Millennials are going to seek something that is going to reward them, that give them a sense of belonging. So creating a tribal leader is someone who makes them feel like they have a purpose with the organization, that they mean more than just being a number.
But that gets in line with working with millennials and having that purpose, I would imagine. Tribal, that's an interesting term to use.
Yeah, Seth Godin wrote a book in 2006 called Tribes, and it was a great, great first step in this direction. The problem is he did not know that the future was going to create a social media that made us even more tribal today than we were just 10 years ago. You know, we're all connected to our tribes. You know, you walk out of a meeting, the first thing you do is you check your friend tribes, your family tribes, your church tribes, your work tribes. Everybody's checking in with their tribes because of social media. And I think the workforce that figures this out, that if we can create a very sticky tribal organization, is going to be the ones that retain talent the longest in the future.
Speaking of the future, you know, if I was a millennial and I've got kids that I don't know what they are, they either Gen Y, millennial, they're a category of something, and in an industrial environment, what would you recommend these young people coming up? I've taught at an industrial college, and what are your thoughts on what they need to do and where they need to go and what they need to experience?
Well, to some degree, I think us Generation Xers have done a disservice to our children. We, I think, inadvertently painted a picture to our kids that if they don't go to college and get a four-year degree of some kind, that they somehow failed. So my advice to kids today is, you know, don't just go to college for the sake of going to college. Find a passion. Find a work that you can enjoy, that will give you an opportunity to make a good living. You know, today, you know, going forward, I think it's going to be the electricians, the technical people, the plumbers, those fields that we've, you know, not necessarily seen as glamorous are going to be the ones that are the most powerful and the most lucrative, because young people just aren't going into those. Their value is going to go up.
Well, I definitely understand what you're saying. It's somewhat challenging. I find that in the industrial space, it's not real flashy, shall we say. And I understand, too, that we live in the world of flash, that shiny object that's off in the distance and we want to look at it and go after it. But it's still the fact that in industry here, it'll still be needed. The manufacturing still needs to go on. And as I taught at the industrial college level, I found that there is still some passion, but it is a challenge to keep them engaged.
Yeah.
Now, I noticed that you got some pickles around here and a jar of pickles and pickle juice. Can you explain a little bit about what that's all about?
Okay, so yesterday I gave a speech to this organization about how behavior-based safety is kind of, it's struggling in organizations, because organizations are trying to create a work environment that's safe and to get their employees involved. The problem that most organizations have is they don't address the pickle juice. The pickle juice is a representation of your culture. So the way I explain it is, companies are always looking for the most amazing cucumbers to help their business improve. It could be as an accountant, it could be as an engineer, and they go out and spend a lot of money recruiting these people into their organizations. The problem is, when they find the ideal cucumber, they hire that cucumber, they bring them into their organization, they immerse them in their pickle juice, and 6 months later they realize, holy cow, we don't have a cucumber anymore, we have another pickle. We didn't want a pickle, we wanted a cucumber. The culture is the pickle juice. The cucumber is the person that you brought in for their special talent, but all of a sudden now they've become just like everyone else.
Well then how do you prevent them becoming pickles and maintaining their cucumberness?
See, the juice is the key. You're always going to have to be working on your juice. Peter Drucker, the famous economist, said, "Culture eats strategy for breakfast." So the message that I'm going to be sharing with the managers this week is that if you're not addressing your pickle juice, if you're not making it what you want it to be, it's going to take on its own characteristics, and it may end up being something that you didn't intend. You know, I gave the example, you know, I was making some pickles for my son, and I who loves pickles, by the way. And you
they're
know,
healthy.
I looked at the ingredients. It was three things. It was water, vinegar, and a little bit of garlic. Well, I'm a garlic fan, so I overdid it with the garlic, and guess what? He won't eat the pickles anymore. I ruined the pickle juice.
I'd love them, I tell you right now. I'd probably eat them right up. Well, that's pretty much it. This is going to be short and sweet. I really appreciate your time there, John. I want to make sure that we can send people in the right direction, because I think you've got a great message to deliver. So we've got a number of books out there. We've got a number of locations. I highly recommend that you go on out there to John Grubb Speaks, or John Grubb, or even John Grubbs at LinkedIn, or go to Amazon and definitely get his books, because he's on the cutting edge of what's going on, and I think the industry is really well to have him. So thank you very much, and I really appreciate your time, because I know you're busy and selling pickles.
Thanks, Scott.
You got it, my friend. Hey, once again, this is Scott McKenzie with Industrial Talk. If you like what you're listening to, please feel free to sign up for the free podcast as well as the blogs. I'll try to keep it all relevant to your business and hopefully be able to provide some insight into what we do at Industrial Talk and what you do as a professional. Hope to see you soon. Thank you. All right, we're back, and we're back at the EHS conference in Galveston, Texas, and I'm with a wonderful young lady by the name of Amanda Martin. And Amanda Martin is with a company called EMSI, and that's Environmental Services. So, Amanda, how long have you worked for EMSI?
I have been with EMSI for just a little over a year. Began last June when I moved down to the great state of Texas.
Where are you from?
I'm from Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Oh, geez. Very good.
Right.
It's sort of the same, I guess you could say. It's nothing. So what did you do before?
Well, I have a history of working in the oil industry, upstream primarily, and then a little bit of midstream. Prior to that, I worked on Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C. So I've kind of done a lot of different things.
Whoa. You worked in Washington, D.C. as what?
I worked for a congressman and a senator. I also worked for UPS Corporate Public Affairs.
Okay, you got to tell me who the congressman and senator were for the great state of Oklahoma, I'm assuming.
Well, they're both Republican. Can you guess that from out of Oklahoma?
Absolutely, it's Oklahoma.
Wes Watkins on the House side and Senator Jim Inhofe on the Senate side.
Oh, Mr. Inhofe. Yeah, that's pretty good. Now, right? Do you know him well?
No, I don't. I know Wes very well. He's a family friend now. After I left Inhofe, I kind of moved on from that adventure.
So EMSI, what is that company all about?
We are primarily a leak detection and repair company and air quality compliance. We're based out of Baytown, Texas, been in business since 1986. Started with just 7 employees, and we've grown to nearly over 400. We are nationwide and focus on refining chemical plants, petrochemical, that type of air quality emissions.
Let me ask you this. If I came to you and I said, hey, which I will, Amanda,
hey,
tell me why this company is better than your competition.
We are client-devoted, focused. We really focus on the client relationship, partnering with our clients to make sure that they have the best experience. I think a lot of people can do a lot of different services, but if you don't listen to the needs, then you fail to really represent them in the right way. And our passion is to make sure that we hear the needs and then follow through with our commitments.
So I'm looking at your brochure right now, and I'm looking at all of the good stuff that your company provides. Where do you see your company going? What does the future hold for you?
Well, I think right now leak detection and repair is very tedious, and so we are looking at next generation LDAR, which focuses primarily
on... You can't just throw an acronym out there. What does LDAR mean?
Leak detection and repair.
Very good.
So that is a primary service of ours.
Mm-hmm.
Any sort of chemical or processing facility that would have the ability to have emissions, air emissions, we service that aspect in making sure that there's no leaks that could cause explosion or contamination in the air quality or even in water.
So when you identify a leak, or you're out there and you're using your equipment, you identify a leak, who is responsible for repairing that leak?
Well, that would depend on the refinery. A lot of times we act as the first responder, so we will identify the leak, and once that's identified, we notify the maintenance facility, mm-hmm. or maintenance crew at the facility, and they come in, repair it, fix it, and then they have us come back and do what they call a recheck. And that has a timeline. Usually it depends on what type of leak it is, but then we'll do the first repairs. They will do the first repairs. We'll just do the monitoring. We are not a full service as far as fixing or construction. We only do the monitoring.
Now, that's interesting because, well, I've been in a number of refineries, and it seems like there's plenty of unique smells that come from a refinery. Are you saying
are
that
they pleasant?
They don't smell like roses, that's for doggone sure, but they do have unique smells.
And the, you know, the deadliest ones are the ones that have no smell.
No kidding, really?
Yes.
For
that's
example,
why it's
what's
important
a.
To wear an H2S monitor.
Ah, very good. So, H2S mm-hmm. smells, doesn't it?
There's an additive that I believe is added to that, but it's not always identified through a smell.
So what you're saying is if I can smell something, it's okay, and then if I can't,
well
good luck.
Well, that's the ability to smell something, but it's definitely a hazard if you can't. That's why you wear the monitor.
Very good, very good. Well, that's fantastic. And you look at what's your background? What I mean, outside of going to Washington D.C. and working in Oklahoma and all that stuff, what's your educational background?
Well, I have an undergrad in supply chain management and a minor in marketing.
Yeah, here's a little story. I taught supply chain management at a university.
Okay.
And if you want to know what a dry I don't know. It's an awful
so
class.
I'm glad that you weren't my instructor.
No, I'm exciting, man. No way. This is. I just remember it was a night class, and I had a bunch of college students
okay.
trying to learn supply chain management, and
it was tedious.
It was tedious. Yeah.
You know, I found it interesting. I also worked at UPS in their operations for about 8 years.
I just want to make sure everybody understands. She looks like she's 20. Okay, go ahead. Amazing. All this experience.
Worked in operations for 8 years, and that was really what obviously drove me to check into logistics, because that's what their business is, mm-hmm. moving things from A to B or to Z, you know, wherever that is. But I found that to be a little bit challenging or good in a challenging in a good way. So I once I finished there, then I wanted to do something a little bit different, and that's when I got into the oil industry. And I took my logistics. I started up the central region supply chain for Apache Oil.
Ah, yes.
I managed
quite familiar.
Crude oil. And then I also was a logistics manager for a frac sand company. So took the logistics, just changed the industry.
And I was proud that I was I taught and I went to school. And man, like I said, man, she's got a lot of experience. Mercy sakes.
And now I'm doing what I love, though, which is business development.
Which is great, by the
right.
way.
But
I'm
I
a
do
big
believe all
BD
of those
guy.
Stones really transformed or set me up for success, which I'm very grateful for.
Tell me about business development. What does that mean to you?
Building relationships, aligning customer focus. I enjoy, visiting with people, engaging with them. And I think, you know, obviously we all have jobs, but beyond the job, what are you and who are you? And creating, you know, life goes at the speed of relationships. It's who you know and how you can help them. And I find that fulfilling.
But the way I define business development a lot of times is sort of a soup to nut type thing. I acquired mergers, acquisitions, financial, you know, papering up and all that good stuff. Do you do any of that, or is it just primarily expanding your marketplace as much as you possibly can through relationship building?
Right now, that's primarily the focus, is expanding the opportunities and our reach in what we have. I know that that's hopefully in the future of our company, but it's kind of, you know, here in the basic grounding stages. There's a lot of change in Eldar right now. A lot of companies have been bought out, a lot of change. Bigger companies are eating up the smaller companies. I don't know if that's because of the downturn from 2015.
Yeah, it was rough.
Yeah. And so we have been very fortunate to have great leadership and very stable over the years. And so now we are one of the only privately owned Eldar companies, and we're just growing.
Are you? You growing? Or is it a target for acquisition just because it's still privately held?
would say targeted. Let's be honest.
Oh, it's honest. It's honest right now. Well, that's all I have to ask and talk to you about, Amanda. I really appreciate you. By the way, Amanda just sort of happened. She was just sitting next to the booth, and,
I know,
and she decided.
You told them you were going to pay me.
Yeah, look at that. We've got a comedian on board here. Well, thank you very much, and I really appreciate your time. This was really a lot of fun. Thank you. I'd like to humbly just say thank you to John Grubbs and Amanda Martin for being so generous with their time. I wish them both the very best. They were just so wonderful to be able to talk to. If you need a talented speaker or an author, you need to give John a nod. He knows a lot about the business, and he just understands what needs to happen. And if you're looking for a compliance-driven and a client-devoted company, give EMSI Environmental Services a call. If you're thinking about hiring, once again, please consider hiring veterans or looking for contract companies that also have that same passion for supporting our veterans. Remember, Lucero non ero, that's Latin for I shine, not burn. Have a wonderful day, and I will see you next week.